Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today, I have in the studio an individual from Shasta County Health and Human Services who's a community education specialist, Sydney Stinger. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And just to mention, so we kind of whet the appetite of our listeners, towards the end of our program, we're going to have a community volunteer that's working on Out of Darkness, which is coming up September 7th. So we have Christopher Diamond, who's a volunteer, the chair of a committee that's working with the American Suicide Foundation.
American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, Sydney, I'm going to start with you asking, what would you say suicide prevention is? Maybe someone has no clue. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some important things for people to think about when they're considering learning about focusing on suicide prevention?
Yeah, there's a lot of great places to start. One of them being the youmattershasta.org website. It specifically focuses on resources in the Shasta County area, as well as training opportunities, different ways to learn more. It's a really great place to start.
So that location would be?
So that is youmattershasta.org, which is the website.
You, is it Y-O-U?
Yes, Y-O-U.
You Matter Shasta. Well, that's a great way to approach it, that title. So when you think of Shasta County, when it compares to state or national rates of suicide incidences, mm-hmm. Do you have any data that you can share that kind of gives us an overall picture of what's happening in Shasta County?
Yeah. So when we look at those rates at this time, so Shasta County has a suicide rate of about 26.3 suicide deaths per 100,000 people. And that's from about 2020 to 2022. That's the most recent data we have available, compared to California, which has a suicide rate of 10 per 100,000 people. So just looking at that, our rate is almost double the state average.
Well, it is double. Didn't you say it was 26?
Yeah, it was about 26.3.
Versus 10?
Yeah. Ooh. And then when we look at national data, it's about 14.1. So it's more than U.S. data, too.
That's kind of shocking and stunning and kind of hard to believe. When you look at those data indicators, do you know why that is? Why it's higher in Shasta County than it might be other places?
So there's a lot of different factors that can impact and influence suicide risk. And it's not just unique to Shasta County. We see mm-hmm. it in a lot of rural communities as well. So some factors that are unique to Shasta County include stigma. So those negative attitudes and beliefs about suicide and mental health. We also have less access to mental health providers in our area. There's also some geographical barriers to getting access to support. Maybe you're in a more isolated area that has less access to transportation. There's also high gun ownership, and firearms are frequently used in suicide deaths. So those are some factors that are unique to Shasta County itself.
And I think one of the challenges with guns is it's such a lethal means. So if a person's using some other means, there's a greater possibility that the person might survive that attempt. Mm-hmm. But with guns, usually there's not a survival.
Yeah, they're highly lethal, which is why we really emphasize storing firearms and medications safely at home to help prevent suicide.
Yes, or any accidental things happening too.
Exactly.
So when you say stigma, what are you pointing to when you say that word stigma?
Stigma really just refers to any negative attitudes and beliefs about a specific topic, such as mental health and suicide. So in our community, oftentimes you may come across people who think that it's not okay to talk about those things, or they may believe that mental health isn't health when it's just the opposite. Mental health is very much integrated in our whole health and well-being.
Yes. And, you know, the hard part is when you think of stigma, it's not as severe as it used to be, but going to psychotherapy, seeking out psychotherapy, what people need to recognize, you know, at least the norm is for medical physical is once a year. At least once a year you go in and get a checkup. It's unfortunate that our society has not yet come to terms with people should do a mental health checkup at least once a year. And that may mean that they just go in and spend one or two sessions with a therapist saying, hey, things are going well. But if they have an issue like childhood trauma, or they are struggling with depression or anxiety or huge big change in life, having the support of a mental health provider empowers people to stay balanced and navigate it in a way that's more useful, not so debilitating. So it's unfortunate there's a huge stigma around even talking about suicide, and then a stigma around mental health. Yet it's improved, but it has a ways to go.
Yeah. I think the other thing I just want to add is we're definitely seeing a lot more national attention on mental health and suicide, which I think when you bring more focus to it, helps to reduce some of the barriers that are created by stigma.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I've had clients in the past that would come in and almost whisper, my child or my adult son or my spouse is struggling with suicidal ideation. And I encourage them, there's no shame. Mm-hmm. It means the person's struggling. And it's wonderful when a person can let other people know, I'm having a tough time, and try to access resources so that they can change their experience.
Yeah.
And when you're in a place of having to deal with suicidal ideation on a regular basis, it's exhausting to the person. Mm-hmm. So getting them support, whether it's family, but ideally with a mental health professional, makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, support makes such a huge difference.
Yes, and hopefully the message in the support is, hey, it's okay. We'll figure things out. We'll get resources. You can feel better. You can feel better. And sometimes it's getting medication support, too, in the process when you're dealing with severe depression or high anxiety. So working with a physician, working with the individual, working with the therapist should be a team helping the individual. Yes. Then also, we look at the geographical barriers that you mentioned. You know, some people are up in the mountains and they have limited resources to come down and access things in our community. Even within our community, sometimes people have to travel by bus to get to places or walk. And so those geographical barriers make a huge difference.
Definitely.
Yes. And I'm sure you've heard about adverse childhood experiences, the ACEs scores.
Yes.
Is that, do you see that as a factor in dealing with suicide?
So ACEs definitely plays a role in suicide risk. So it's definitely information we make sure we're being mindful of.
Yes.
We do have an ACEs-based program in Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency. So we often work together or collaborate to make sure we're addressing some of those risk factors together.
Yes. And maybe there's someone out there, Sydney, that does not know what adverse childhood experiences, the ACEs scores, are about. Can you explain that?
I'll try to a little bit. I'm not the ACEs expert, but essentially ACEs refers to anything revolving childhood trauma. So that could be substance use in the home, intimate partner violence. Maybe one of those adults or caregivers was living with a mental health condition. Anything that could potentially impact the development of the child due to those experiences in the household.
And what we know about those experiences is unless there's an intervention, unless there's psychotherapy, and psychotherapy isn't a lifelong process anymore. We have lots of modalities that help people to process trauma in a very, really relatively fast way. That person's going to carry the impact of that trauma lifelong. And so it was a study done by Kaiser Permanente in San Diego a number of years ago. And through that research model, they discovered that if they took 10 questions, one single sheet of paper, and people would answer yes or no, and then you would add up the score for all the yeses. And so at the end, if that score was 4 or more, research shows that there would be a shortening of the person's life. And so the goal is when people become aware of, oh my gosh, this is me, then they could do psychotherapy, process the trauma, and then the impact on the body is not so significant. So there isn't the impact on shortening life. So it's very important that people, I mean, you can go online and look up the ACEs questions, mm-hmm. score yourself. But as a psychotherapist, all mental health providers, you said Shasta County Health and Human Services has that program too, where people, they come in, you have them fill that out and they can self-score. You can see the score, have a conversation about what do we need to do to reduce the risk factors on your body. Mm-hmm. We know that people who suffer rape or molest in youth as a child, they end up with the ACEs scores when they're 4 and above. They will have that body impact of digestive issues, acid reflux, GERD, colon issues, because it's all the input system into the body. And so if we intervene, we can avoid all that. That would be the goal, to help people avoid that. Mm. And what's a bit staggering is the ACEs scores in Shasta County are higher than the state scores or the national scores. Mm-hmm. And that's because we have a lot of people of trauma here. And so it's really very good to be mindful. What can we do to help ourselves feel better mental health wise? Mm-hmm. I think it's an important thing. And you commented too about having access to mental health resources. Mm-hmm. So in Shasta County.
Yeah. I know what mental health crisis resources we have available, too, of including the Shasta County Mental Health Access Team. Mm-hmm. There's also the Hill Country Care Center. Both of those organizations are able to provide in-person mental health crisis support. Hill Country also has a mobile crisis outreach team, or MCOT for short. And they're actually able to drive out to individuals experiencing a mental health crisis and provide that support there. Though I do want to add the caveat with MCOT. They're only able to serve adults at this time, so 18 plus. Mm-hmm. And they can only travel 25 miles in the Reading area.
That's still pretty good outreach.
Yeah. So still great groups that are offering really important mental health crisis care.
So what we want to do is kind of slow things down a bit. And when you said Shasta County Access, where is that located and what's that about?
So that's located off of Breslauer in Reading. And like I said, Access can provide in-person mental health crisis support, but they also serve as essentially a resource hub. Like if you need to get connected with support and care, they can get you connected to the right place.
And so when they, because at the end of the program, I'm going to have you give your phone number, website, how people can get in touch with you. Mm-hmm. Do they contact you to access Shasta County, the access place, or is that a separate line?
That is a separate line because our suicide prevention program does not do direct services. We focus on upstream prevention. So we're more about preventing the issue before it happens. We want to get people connected to support before they even enter a crisis. But our access team is part of our behavioral health and social services department, and they do provide those direct services.
So that means a person, or maybe you take a family member there, mm-hmm. or maybe you yourself are feeling very vulnerable to suicide. Mm-hmm. So going there, they can get some sort of assistance, mm-hmm. and perhaps a referral.
Yes.
So they really step in and try to do what's necessary. Hill Country mm-hmm. has the care center that's located where?
That is off of Gold Street in Reading, so towards our downtown area.
And it intersects with Market Street. Market Street and Gold Street is right on the corner. You'll see the building right there, and you can walk in. And it's Monday through Friday, and then they have Saturday time too, don't they?
They're actually open 365 days a year, but they do have specific hours. Mm-hmm. They're only slightly different over the weekend.
Yes, they do amazing work. And then you mentioned the mobile unit, mm-hmm. you know, being able to have someone in crisis and you're having difficulty mm-hmm. getting them in the car or calling the ambulance, they're resistant. You can call that mobile unit. They will come to you if you're within that 25-mile radius of downtown Reading, which is a significant distance, really. Mm-hmm. And they have trained individuals that are there to intervene in crisis.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very powerful thing.
Absolutely.
If you've just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Sydney Stinger. She is the community education specialist working in suicide prevention, education, training. You have the whole gamut, don't you?
I do. I'm ready.
Yes. Good. We like that. So it's just, there's so much stigma about people having to deal with suicidal ideation. One of the things I want to talk about before we go too far along in our conversation, when someone is in crisis, I don't know in your background, what's the most important thing to think about when a person's in crisis?
So when somebody is in an active crisis, it's getting them connected to the right kind of support. So in this situation, I'm assuming we've confirmed that this is a suicide crisis situation.
Yes.
So in that case, we have a couple different options. One of them being you can call the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. It's the national lifeline, so it's available 24/7. You can call or text. They even have an online chat platform if you prefer to use that method. If you're looking for a local resource in Shasta County, there's again the Shasta County Mental Health Access Team, as well as the Hill Country Care Center, and they can provide that in-person mental health crisis support.
So if we want information from the phone company, we call 411. And if we want local resource information, we call 211.
Yes.
So now there's a 988. Anybody that's really struggling with suicide, or you're a family member with that person, you can call or text that.
Yes.
And if someone calls and texts that, do they have to worry about being reported to law enforcement or anything like that?
No, 988 is not connected to 911. It is just focused on de-escalation for a suicide or mental health crisis, which is why if it is an emergency, such as that person has acted on those suicide thoughts and has begun the attempt, please do call 911 if they're an immediate medical emergency.
And some of the things I'm going to ask Sydney to talk about is warning signs, risk factors, all those things. But if someone's in crisis, the important thing is if you are with them or on the phone with them, don't leave them. Because the crisis can be several minutes long, a couple hours long. The important thing is to try to be with them through that crisis so that they don't take their life. After the crisis, then you have time to be able to deal with things so that the individual can have a full recovery. So that's a really important aspect. So let's talk a little bit about risk factors. What are some of the risk factors that you note?
Yeah, so there's a variety of them, same with protective factors. But when it comes to risk factors, it could be a previous suicide attempt. Maybe they're experiencing some financial problems or job loss. They could have experienced adverse childhood experiences or trauma within the home. Maybe they're dealing with homelessness at this time, or if they've experienced some form of discrimination, harassment, or violence.
Bullying.
Those can also impact suicide risk. Maybe you've lost a loved one, whether it be to suicide or some other factor. But those are some general risk factors that can impact suicide risk.
And I know at my intake process with my clients, one of the first things I ask them when I'm doing a suicide assessment, which is just a standard protocol when you're at intake, is have they had a family member or a close friend that's like family do suicide, because it puts them at a higher risk. So it's really important to recognize that people are in a crisis, you know, and that's why you want to intervene. So the protective factors, let's talk about protective factors.
Yeah. So the first one I talk about is connection, right? Having that good support system, whether that be family, friends, maybe a pastor or an individual you look up to, maybe a mentor in your life. It could also be a trained counselor or therapist. Having a good support network is such a helpful protective factor. Other ones include getting mental health support when you need it, or just taking those self-care days and being mindful of what you need in that moment.
Yeah, that keeps you from getting at risk. And the thing to remember is when you're dealing with suicidal ideation, you may get through the moment. You may even get up to a crisis and then back off the crisis. But if you're having any of those experiences, make room in your life to do psychotherapy. It's not lifelong. The county provides insurance coverage for low income. And with that program, what has changed in recent years used to be that you always had to go to Shasta County Mental Health to be able to do psychotherapy. With a partnership program, they've empowered local therapists in private practice to be able to see clients. They provide the resources for that. And so there's a whole list of community therapists that individuals can access and see, from nonprofit organizations like Creekside or Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, lots of different places in our community where you can access mental health services. So it's very important that a person realizes you don't have to be out there alone. Mm-hmm. You have opportunity to make changes in your life. Any other protective factors that we skipped over that you want to mention, or shall we move on?
I think those are some main ones. You can always look to the Centers for Disease Control. They have some great information on more protective factors as well, if you're curious about learning more.
Yes, I think it's good always to have resources. And the Suicide Foundation has a whole bunch on their website.
Yeah.
In fact, you can type in 988 into your search engine. It'll take you to all the information about how to access that, where to go. I mean, it's just tons of information that I think is good to have at our fingertips. So how about, let's talk about the warning signs. What are some of the warning signs that a person needs to pay attention to?
Yeah, this can look like a lot of things. It can be somebody being very direct and talking about wanting to die. It could be somebody giving away prized possessions. Maybe they're saying they feel like a burden to others, or they feel trapped, lonely, hopeless. They could be behaving more recklessly or not being as mindful about their own well-being. There's so many different factors or things it can look like. Really, it's any big changes we see in that person if they're not acting like themselves. You know, they could be a very happy, outgoing person, and suddenly maybe they're more angry and prone to outburst, and they're just not engaging with their family and friends anymore. They're withdrawing.
Isolating themselves.
Yeah. One great website called suicideispreventable.org goes over all kinds of different warning signs, and it also provides tips and tools for how to reach out to that person and how to connect them to support.
Yes. And you know, one of the ways many of us are experiencing connection is with pets. Mm-hmm. And pets can be very soothing. They kind of reaffirm for us the good thing in life. So if a person's trying to find a home for their beloved pet, that's a huge warning sign. Mm-hmm. So any extreme changes. And you know what's hard is sometimes there's a dynamic that happens when a person has made that final decision. You see them depressed, kind of isolated, litless, and all of a sudden they seem happy. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes what that means, or sometimes that means, that they've made a decision how to carry out their plan. Which, notice what's different about when someone has a plan or someone doesn't have a plan. Can you speak to that, Sydney?
So if somebody has a plan on mind, we also want to consider whether or not their willingness to act on that plan. And that's the same thing with suicide thoughts as well. I know in my world, we talk a lot about if you are reaching out to somebody you're concerned about and they express that they are thinking about suicide, and if they express what kind of means or the plans they have in place, of making sure you're sharing that information with your intervention resource to make sure that plan can be disabled or addressed in some capacity.
So let's imagine you're talking with someone and they say, I have a firearm and my idea for ending my life is that I'm going to do self-harm. So we're on the phone with that person. what might be some of the things we would ask them to do? So what would happen is you would ask them, can you go someplace else away from that firearm? Can you have someone in the family come take that firearm away and stay away from it? Can they lock it up, get it out of their reach? Ideally, have it move someplace else, because it takes that access to ending their life away. And same thing with pills. Let's say they have a bottle of pills that are lethal. Asking them to have someone else, maybe they have a family member, take those so that they can't access them.
That's a lot of our mean safety, is just increasing the time and space between that person and potentially lethal means, whatever that looks like.
See, you knew. It's very important that, you know, we can be part of helping that person diffuse the situation. The goal is that that would be perhaps one time, and then you get them to resources so that they can change their experience in the world, process that trauma. So the goal would be, instead of just surviving and existing in life, the goal of psychotherapy is so that people can learn to thrive in life. And we have modalities like eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing, and brain spotting that help people to process trauma so they don't have to carry the weight of all that burden they've experienced in childhood. And just a few sessions can make a huge difference for people. So those are really important concerns. You know, one of the things that people sometimes I've heard them say is, well, you know, they were threatening suicide, but I don't think it's serious. What would you say, Sydney?
In those situations, the only way you're going to know for sure if they're serious or not is if you ask them, which is why we highly recommend, if somebody's talking about wanting to die or if you're concerned, to reach out to them, express why you're concerned, and ask directly, are you thinking about suicide? There's a really big myth that talking about suicide is going to put that thought in somebody's head, but that is completely false. We know that talking about and asking about suicide directly has been shown to be life-saving. For those who are at risk, it brings a sense of relief and it gives them a chance to talk about why they're feeling this way, why they want to die. So it's really important to ask that question.
And I think I like the way you put that, because, you know, we may think, oh, it's going to create things to be worse, when in actuality, it's a relief to the individual to be able to talk about it openly. And when they can talk about it openly, there's the opportunity to connect them to resources. So that's a huge thing for us to know as a culture. It's okay. It's okay to ask. It's important to ask. And sometimes I've had people say, you know, I didn't ask my friend and they ended their life and I wished I had said something. And so if you ever wonder, ask. It's important. It's important for people to know that we care. I think the most important thing for us to remember is that when people are in suicide crisis, when they're struggling with suicidal ideation, when they're struggling with trauma, the natural response to trauma is disconnection. It's so that the person can move through the trauma and survive. But the goal is that we, you know, when we're in crisis, help people to connect with other people, their pets, some way to resources so that they can get past this crisis and process it and learn to live free from all that bad stuff. I think that's very important. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Sydney Stinger. She is a community education specialist with Shasta County Health and Human Services. And what's really extraordinary, we, in the beginning of the program, we talked about protective factors, risk factors, warning signs, what to do in the event of the crisis. Towards the end of the program, I'm going to ask her to share some more of those resources, to repeat the resources. So if you haven't had a chance to jot down those, you will have that opportunity. We'll also, at the end of the program, be talking with Christopher Diamond, who's a volunteer working on a special project that's happening in our area that's called Out of the Darkness, happening on September 7th. So we're going to we're going to pick Christopher's brain on all what's going on. So, Sydney, your office is offering some special trainings. Can you talk about what those trainings are? And because listeners, you know, they kind of have to go timelines, is there one coming up that people need to access sooner rather than later?
Yeah. So we have three different training opportunities that are designed specifically for medical and behavioral health care workers. That can include school counselors as well. One of the trainings, which I'll talk about later, is also offered to some concealed carry weapons or CCW instructors too. I do want to note that all of these trainings are free to community members, and some of them do offer continuing education units as well, all of which are free too.
That's very wonderful.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that all of our providers had access to that. But these trainings include Suicide Prevention 201, Assessing and Managing Suicide Risk, or AMSR for short. And then lastly, we have Counseling on Access to Lethal Means, or CALM. The one that's coming up is our Suicide Prevention 201 training, and that's going to be on August 26th and 27th. It's a two-day training. That one will be a live Zoom. I do want to add that all of these trainings have different options. Some of them have live Zooms. Some of them have in-person trainings. And both the SP, or Suicide Prevention 201, and the Assessing and Managing Suicide Risk have self-study courses. So if they don't have the time to go to that Zoom training or that in-person training, they can take the self-study course instead.
So we're going to slow things down because you're talking about a big plan. So the one that's happening on 26th and 27th of August, that's the only time it will be offered?
No, there's multiple training dates. All of these will be available until May of 2025.
And are they all on Zoom?
No, some of them are Zoom sessions, some of them are in person, and others are a self-study course, so you can complete it on your own time.
So the very first one is called what again?
Suicide Prevention 201.
Okay, on 201, there's the upcoming August 26th and 27th Zoom training.
Yes.
So is there a classroom that's going to come up for that in person?
Yes, the next in-person one is going to be on March 7th of 2025.
Okay, and that's a full-day training, 2 days?
That one is just a one-day training for the one happening on March 7th.
And so anyone that's a medical profession, doctor, nurse, or related in the medical field, educator, psychotherapist, psychiatrist, anyone in the mental health field?
Yes.
But no one that's just a private citizen. So those are all for education purposes.
Yes, we do offer trainings that are meant for any community member. We just wanted to use some of the funding we had specifically for our providers.
Yes, and that's what this training is about.
Yes.
So that Suicide Prevention 201 on Zoom, August 26th and 27th, in person in March of 2025.
Yes.
So the next program is which one?
The next one is Assessing and Managing Suicide Risk.
And how many hours is that?
That one, I believe, is also a two-day training. For CEUs, I know it offers 6.5.
So 6.5 is a one-day training. So is that in-person, Zoom, webinar? What's the scoop on that one?
Same thing. It offers a couple different options.
Good.
The next one, I believe, is going to be an in-person training, and that'll be on October 17th and 18th of 2024.
And then after that, what will it be? What, Zoom?
I think it's another in-person one, and that's going to be on April 24th and 25th of 2025. And again, this one also has a self-study option, just like Suicide Prevention 201.
Okay, we missed the self-study. So both of these, the first training and this one, have a self-study. So what do you mean by self-study?
So essentially, when they register for the course, they'll get a link, and it'll take them to basically a training platform, and they can complete it on their own time. So they can go over the different training topics and the learning curriculum at their own pace. It just gives another way to get that training information if they don't have the capacity to go to one of the in-person or live Zoom trainings.
Yeah, that's nice to have that self-study option.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, say I sign up for the self-study, I can do it in 2-hour increments.
If you wanted to, for most of these, you have about 5 months to complete it. Unless you start the self-study in January of 2025, then it does need to be completed by March of 2025.
Yeah. That self-study, though, would be a real good option. And you access it through your computer, laptop,
yes,
tablet, something like that. Okay. So the next training, those we did the first two. The third training is
Counseling on Access to Lethal Means, also called CALM.
Okay, so what is that's to, do you know what the gist of that one is?
Yeah, so that one is focused, it's a little bit more specific than the other two. Mm-hmm. This one is focused on how to increase time and space between somebody who's thinking about suicide or experiencing a suicide crisis and access to potentially lethal means such as firearms or medications. And this is the training that's available to our concealed carry weapons instructors as well.
That's the only training that's available to them.
Yes, besides our
package.
For these three specialized trainings, that's the one that's also open to concealed carry weapon instructors.
Okay. So does this one also have the self-study component?
This one does not. This one mainly focuses on in-person training.
Okay. So do you have the dates for the in-person trainings?
Yes. The next available one will be on September 6th of this year.
So coming right up.
Yeah.
Is there anything after the September 6th in-person?
We have two more after that. There's one on January 10th and another on May 9th of 2025, both of them being in-person.
Excellent. All three are in-person.
Yes.
And the thing to remember, these are free.
Yes, they're all free.
And you get the continuing education units that is required by your licensure if you're a psychotherapist or a medical professional. Mm-hmm. I don't know if educators get it. Educators can qualify for all three of these?
Yes. Most school educators can go to any three of these trainings.
Excellent. And then the concealed carry instructors only go to the CALM training, the last training that we talked about.
Yes, that counseling on access to lethal means.
Okay. So maybe there's someone out there that's hearing this conversation we're having. Mm-hmm. How do they reach you?
Yeah. So the best way to, one, learn more about these trainings is you can go to youmattershasta.org and go to the training page on that website to learn more if you missed any of that information or if you want to check out the training dates. And then if you would like to sign up for free, you can either reach out to youmattershasta@shastacounty.gov. You can reach out to that email, or you can call 530-229-8426. Which is the Suicide Prevention Program office, and they can get you registered for those trainings.
Yeah, that's the office you work out of.
Yes.
Yes, and again, you have a whole staff.
Yeah. Well, it's actually just me. I also want to emphasize it's not a crisis line, but we can get you registered for those trainings.
Yeah, so if you have questions about the training, that phone number is 530-229-8426. Excellent, excellent. So lots of information. So we want to encourage people with license, you know, mental health, education, doctors, medical. Here's your opportunity. Free training on a significant issue that can change the lives of your clients. You also mentioned through our conversation, there may be some information or training available to people that are not, you know, just people.
Mm-hmm.
How do they access that? What's available?
Yeah, so our two trainings that we always offer to community members include Safe Talk, and that goes over recognizing different warning signs, how to reach out to somebody who might be at risk, and then connecting somebody at risk to appropriate care and support. Then we also have Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, or ASSIST for short. That one is a 2-day training, but you learn how to do a suicide intervention, how to create a safety plan with somebody who is experiencing a suicide crisis. So you do a lot of practice and training throughout that course. Same with our other ones. Those are both free to sign up for. And you can go to umattershasta.org and go to the training page to learn more and to sign up.
So the first one is called Safe Talk. The other one's Applied Suicide Skills Training?
Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training.
Intervention Skills Training. That intervention's kind of important.
Yeah,
part.
That's, we typically refer to it as ASSIS since it's a lot shorter.
Yes. And how long are those trainings? Each of them are?
So the Safe Talk is a 4-hour training, and then ASSIST is a 2-day training.
Well, it'd be really good for home health or, you know, like caregivers that are dealing with family members. Also, faith-based, you know, the faith-based community to be able to go in, because oftentimes they're talking with parishioners or community members that struggle with that.
Absolutely.
So you also said, you mentioned this phrase, safety plan. What are you pointing to when you say safety plan?
So safety plan typically refers to when you're doing a suicide intervention. So you're actively trying to support somebody who's experiencing a suicide crisis. So a safety plan is just that, it's working with that individual in crisis to come up with ways to keep them safe for that time and how to keep them safe moving forward.
Yeah, it's very important, isn't it?
Yes.
And so it's really working with the individual to help them think, getting resources beyond the incidents, the crisis. So in a moment, we're going to be having conversation here with Christopher Diamond about the Out of Darkness event that's coming up. So before we move into that, Sydney, I'd like to have you, if a person has someone in crisis, what are the resources they can access?
Yeah, so the national resource is 988, and you can reach them by calling, texting, or using their online chat platform. They're available 24/7 all throughout the U.S., so you can reach them anywhere.
It's anonymous?
It's completely anonymous, yes.
If you just need to talk?
Yeah, even if you're experiencing emotional distress, they can even provide support for people who are experiencing substance use crisis as well.
Yeah, makes a huge difference. And how about locally?
Yeah, so we have the Shasta County Mental Health Access Team. They're located off of 1640 on Breslauer, or excuse me, 2640 off of Breslauer in Reading. And they're able to provide in-person and over-the-phone mental health crisis support.
So the in-person is Monday through Friday, correct?
Yes, they do have limited in-person hours.
And what about phone?
You can reach the Access Team by calling 530-225-5252.
So one more time on that?
Yeah, you can reach the Access Team at 530-225-5252.
And then you mentioned earlier in the program, Hill Country has a care facility where people can just walk in and sit down. You're having a hard day, you can just walk in. And that's located where?
That's off of 1401 Gold Street in downtown Reading.
And so it's a corner of Gold at Market. And then they also have a mobile unit that serves 25 miles outside the center of Reading.
So you can't access the MCOT team through 911. That's the Crisis Intervention Response Team. And that's through the Reading Police Department.
Yes, but you can look up Hill Country.
Yes.
Mobile Crisis Unit. I usually have it with me, but I don't have the phone number today. So if you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN, 88.5 FM Community Radio. Myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We've been here talking with Sydney Stinger, who's the community education specialist with Shasta County Health and Human Services. We've been talking about the topic of suicide and suicide prevention, trainings, resources, really trying to encourage us as a community to get educated on what the tools are to help people that are really struggling. And so we have also in this last segment of the program, Christopher Diamond. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so good to have you. Good to see you. It's been a while since I've seen you. So you're serving as a chair, but serving as a volunteer for the Shasta County Out of Darkness. When is that happening?
So the Out of the Darkness Walk is happening on Saturday, September 7th, 2024. And there's a couple parts to it. We have at 8 a.m. people come in and register. And part of that process is that people can not only get on our email list so they can keep in contact, they can also, it's an opportunity to donate. Out of the Darkness Walks are fundraisers for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They're a national organization that has been around since 2002. And they're working to end suicide through education, policy. They do a lot of trainings and community engagement.
I think one of the things that I appreciate about them, too, is their website. Their website has so much information. So they're an excellent resource. And I don't know if they were the group that started the 988 national number that you can call for suicide, but it's posted there, and it gives you lots of different resources. So you're working with them.
Yes, and Shasta County is part of the Greater Sacramento Area Chapter. And so some of the programs that we've been able to bring up since through volunteer work in our community have been things like the walk. There is also a International Day of Suicide Survivor Loss that happens in November every year, is something that we've done through AFSP. And in the past, it's been quite a while, but there were trainings that they were giving to middle school students in the More Than Sad program. So the walk is sort of that fundraiser, a community connection piece, a way for people to sort of start to figure out how they might want to be involved. And it's also a way to bring hope to the community.
Which suicide, is important.
Yeah, suicide is a hard topic for people to sit with. So sometimes just having that activity to do, to walk alongside people who have been through similar experiences or just want to help, is really important for connection.
So the Out of Darkness Walk is being held September 7th. What's the location?
It's going to be in Caldwell Park. It starts at the Carter House Lawn.
So people want to go there when mm-hmm. they show up. And they show up at 8 o'clock?
Yes, and that's when registration begins. It goes from 8 to 9. And then at 9 o'clock, we have a small ceremony, and then the walk begins.
So a person, can they register in advance?
Yes, they can. There is a website where you can register right now, which is afsp.org/Shasta County.
So that AFSP stands for?
American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
.org, because they're a nonprofit mm-hmm. slash Shasta County. So are you posting things on social media about this event?
Yes, we started a Facebook page, and you would just search for Shasta County Out of the Darkness Walk.
Out of the Darkness Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people that you're trying to get to show up out of the Darkness Walk are who? Who do you want to participate?
They can be community members who are just supportive of the cause. They can be people who have had their own mental health struggles or struggles with suicide. And they can also be loss survivors as well. So we're trying to get a whole community piece, because it's really important to... I know we were talking earlier about having community connection and how important that is. And it's the same thing with the walk.
So the way you're fundraising is when people pay to register?
Yes, there's an opportunity to donate when you register. However, I also want people to know that you do not have to donate to participate in the walk. You can form your own walk team, and you can, or be an individual and participate without donating at all.
Because you're really not only a fundraiser, but raising consciousness, awareness about what's involved, and
yes.
trying to get people connected to resources.
Mm-hmm.
So once you come to Caldwell Park, where's the walk begin from there? Does it go downriver, upriver? Where are you going?
So we're going to start at Carter House Lawn, and then the walk route is going, we're going to go up to the Sundial Bridge. And
so
then
you're going
back.
Downriver to mm-hmm. the Sundial Bridge.
Downriver, yep.
And back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably, it's not very far.
No, I think overall the round trip is about 2 miles.
Yeah, it's not very far. So mm-hmm. Can people, do you want them to walk?
We would like them to walk if you
wheelchairs
want
are acceptable.
To. Yeah, if you want to just do a shorter route, that's okay too. Uh-huh. You know, go out for a little bit and then come back. There is, in the meantime, while the walk is going on, the resource fair will stay open. We're going to have some mental health focused organizations there that people can connect with.
They're at Caldwell Park.
Mm-hmm.
So they have booths up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And those booths for resources, can you think of some that maybe have already registered or usually participate as an example to who they might be able to connect with?
Well, Suicide Prevention from Health and Human Services is going to be there. Shasta Yay. Kind Mind signed up, I think.
What's Shasta Kind Mind?
So Shasta Kind Mind is another program through Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency, and it really focuses on mental health and giving people the tools and skills to support their mental health and well-being.
So they'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So there'll probably be people to talk to, probably some information pieces they can carry away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a time of year where it's a little cooler usually, and the time of day is early in the morning, so it'll be nice to come out and just by your participation, you're really supporting suicide prevention awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, powerful. Mm-hmm. Do you need any volunteers for that project?
Yes, we love volunteers. For this year, we're really looking for help on the day of the event. But going forward, we really want to see the walk grow and become a regular part, a regular thing in our community. So we're looking for volunteers to also join the walk committee to help work on 2025 and beyond. So those are a couple different ways to get involved right now. And if you're interested, you can call me at 530-262-8161.
And is your information posted on the Facebook page?
It's on the Facebook page. It's also on the walk page, the AFSP walk page.
And AFSP stands for?
American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Yes, yes. And is this walk happening other places in the countryside?
It is. There's over 500 walks annually and over 200,000 walkers.
Wow. So here we have in Shasta County, we have the opportunity to participate in something that's happening across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful thing. It's a positive thing, I think. So they can reach you, whether or not they can volunteer that day to help or future events.
Mm-hmm.
And you're working with other things besides the Walk Out of Darkness. What other projects are you doing?
The other American Foundation for Suicide Prevention projects. I know that this year there is a plan to put on the International Suicide Survivor Loss Day.
And what month is that?
That's in November.
November, will you be hosting that here locally?
That'll be hosted locally. It's another volunteer putting it on.
But they could probably go to your Facebook page and get more information or message you even.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can get more information about what's coming up.
Yeah.
So the encouragement is you as a volunteer have put together, you're chairing this committee. You're looking for volunteers to help on September 7th. And it's not going to be a long time frame. People are registering at 8, so you're probably showing up for the event at 7 as a volunteer and probably be done by
11:30
noon, something like that. So a couple hours being able to really make a statement by your presence, by your volunteering, by your giving back to this project, that suicide prevention is imperative, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It means the health and well-being of individuals, which also becomes the health and well-being of our community. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you, Christopher Diamond, for volunteering and coming in and sharing that, because I had no awareness. So send me some emails. I'll distribute it out to people, because passing the word, I think, is really important. So that's Caldwell Park.
Yes.
And you sign up there, register at 8. You can pre-register by going to...
It's afsp.org/Shasta County.
You can pre-register there to show up and register the day of the event. Walk starts, well, ceremony is at 9, and immediately following the ceremony, the walk starts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're walking from Caldwell Park down to the Sundial Bridge and back.
Yes.
And if you need a walker or a wheelchair, that's certainly permissible. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And before we leave the program, I want to thank you, Christopher, for coming in. Sydney, your program again is called?
You Matter Shasta.
YouMatterShasta.org. So there are lots of information. You can go there anytime. If you have questions and you need help, there's resources available on the website. And if they need to call the suicide prevention program that your office is, what phone number is that again?
If you need to reach us, you can call 530-229-8426. We're not a crisis line, but we can get you connected with trainings and resources.
And the crisis line, what number is that, Sydney?
If you want to reach our Shasta County Mental Health Access Team, you can call 530-225-5252. Or if you want to reach the National Crisis Line, you can call 988.
Yes, and those are anonymous. Mm-hmm. You can talk with someone. You can get information. It's a great way to intervene in the crisis of someone's life. One of the things I wanted to share with the community before we leave our program, the Hill Country Care Center, as mentioned before, is at 1401 Gold Street in Reading. And their hours are from 8:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., 7 days a week. If you need information from them, call 530-238-7134. That's 530-238-7134. If you need help in a crisis with the mobile unit, you call 530-238-7133. That's 530-238-7133. That's for the mobile crisis unit. And when you call to activate the team, they ask you to provide your name and phone number, name, date of birth, and location, the person that you're concerned about, and a description of the person and the situation, risks that may be involved, and other pertinent information. This way, having this mobile crisis unit come out doesn't always require law enforcement to go out. You're having mental health professionals respond to a mental health crisis. So those are phone numbers for Hill Country Care Center. I want to thank Christopher Diamond, who's come in as a volunteer, facilitating as chair of the 2024 Out of the Darkness Walk that's happening on September 7th. Sydney Stinger, who is the community education specialist with Shasta County Health and Human Services. Thank you. And I want to remind each of us here in the studio, as well as our listeners, we want to make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us.